Welcome back to the Mindshift Show. This is Josh and Matt Dagg, and we're talking manifestation. So, a common interest of Matt and mine is we talk a lot about plant medicine, but that experience has led us to talk quite deeply about reality and manifestation and
consciousness
and all those sort of things. Yep. And we thought that why not work mind shift in a way that we basically train ourselves to become masters of our own reality. And we see iconic either groups or individuals who are just masters, the elites of the world, who are just masters of their reality. And we thought, well, why not try to use those techniques or those learnings, or try and uncover that process to do it ourselves. And obviously we all have manifested something, or maybe we do all the time. It's a matter of just being more aware of those manifestations and finding out what works and what doesn't work, and try and practice the things that do work.
You mentioned then that we do that all the time. That's what reality is. It's constantly being created in our mind. And manifestation is using that on an intentional scale, or working to create. Whereas every day, our thoughts become our reality, good or bad. And that's proven in regards to, if you were to think of yourself as worthless, ugly, fat, and then you look at yourself in the mirror, you're going to see yourself. If you say it to yourself enough, or if you even have it said to you by another person, then that will become your reality. And the same thing goes on the other side of the token. If you believe that you are worthy, if you believe that you are successful, strong, kind, then that will become your reality, because that's who you will, that you will reflect off that thought, and that will become a reality. So by doing that, I think, it's so important to be aware of your thoughts. And that led me to thinking, I was down on the beach with Sophie a couple of days ago, and I was sitting there and I was starting to think, what's the difference between a human physical body and a solid object? Let's just say a bit of driftwood, for example. Under a microscope, under enough magnification, we would all be just particles of energy floating, creating what we perceive to be a solid object. But what allows the human body in itself to be different, or what allows any living being on Earth to be different, and that is consciousness and thought and awareness of itself.
And to be clear, we're not talking about the brain or any physical matter in our head or chemical reactions or anything like that. We're talking about
all of that is still just physical, right? So like the brain itself, if you were to disconnect it and look at under a microscope, again, it is just physical, and under enough magnification, there will be space in between each of those particles, so in that case, then what makes that different? And I know you can go into scientific ways of, this neutron gets fired to this neutron and gets the brain working this way and that way. But again, where does awareness come from? It's not physical. Awareness is not physical. The mind is not physical. And that there is something that really needs to have deep thought put into it to then understand the importance and the power that can come from behind that. Because as soon as you start to be aware of your awareness and give it some credit that it's due, then that's when you realize the power of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough people in the world have ever questioned that, because I said that to Soph and she was like, I've never really thought about that. She hasn't really gone past that point. And, it was like, I said, how do you think that I can sit here right now and see you and you can see me. Yes, we have an eyeball, but what allows that to be connected? You know, how come my eyeball can see your eyeball? Or how can my eye see you? You know, if it is all just physical and there is nothing else connected behind it, then that just doesn't make sense. So for us to be aware of each other, for me to be sitting here next to you and you sitting here next to me, and we are both aware of that and we can both see the same things at the same time, then our awareness does have to be connected. So it is collective.
Yeah.
And that there is what I've discussed in other episodes, being the collective consciousness. So there is a source, a mother source, that it all comes from and is filtered down into each of our perceived realities. But at one point, they all are connected.
Yeah.
And that there is, I think, something that we want to touch on today in regards to mass manifestation.
Yeah.
Because we can do, you know, manifestation, I think, you know, a lot of people have heard different theories, and the book come out around about maybe, or might have even been 20 years ago now, called The Secret. I remember reading it when I was maybe 24, 25, I may have been, and I think it was pretty new at the time. And that there was basically the forgotten language and the forgotten knowing of manifestation.
Yeah.
And the techniques on how to work that. And I think what Josh was saying earlier, I think what some of these, what we'll call them the elites, but in different circles and so on, they can use mass manifestation without the average person even knowing it, that they're buying into a certain reality. And if enough people buy into a certain reality, that creates that reality. Because the more energy, the more vibration, the more frequency that gets put into that thought, then all of a sudden it exists and we're living it. So, yeah, I guess.
So what happens if I guess the common objection to somebody who hasn't really cared too much about manifestation or has just heard about it, what stops me from manifesting living in a marshmallow land and everything's just pink and blue and whatever? I think we spoke about this briefly, and that is also possible, but it's about letting go of what you currently
believe to be as a reality.
Right. So if you, it's like being crazy, mm-hmm. like it's the freedom of losing your mind. You can have any reality you want as long as you truly believe it. And then that's basically like you're shifting into that reality.
Yes.
So,
but if you wanted it bad enough and you were to, you know, put enough energy and time into it, then yeah, that can be the case. And, you know, from people looking at it from the outside point of view, they might look in and see you as being crazy, but you're not going to care because you're in marshmallow land.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, there is those sorts of things. But I think on a smaller scale on, you know, proving that manifestation is a real thing is like, for example, if you haven't seen somebody in, say, 15 years and you all of a sudden just you think of them, you haven't even thought of them for years, and you have a thought, oh, I wonder what he's doing these days. And then the next day or even that same day, you might go down to the shop or go somewhere random, or you could even be in a different, you know, state or something like that, as in territory.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden bump into this person that you haven't seen in 15 years and you were literally just thinking of them.
Yeah.
And that there is a, like, I think that a universal sign that most people that are listening can relate to, that go, the uncanniness of that, the for that to be a coincidence is pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
And then to then think, well, if that's possible, then what else is possible?
Yeah. That's happened a fair few times in my life. Like, yes. Especially lately, where yes. I've been quite present and listening to the universe, I've really felt like a lot of my manifestations, even from years and years and years ago, are starting to become, like, you know, my reality.
Yes.
What are some of your past manifestations that are standouts that have come to fruition?
Well, a big physical one would have been back when I was around 24, 25, and I'd broken up with my partner. I was going through some life-changing things. I was, I was going away for a while, and then I had to then really sort of, I was lonely, and I was, I guess, I really wanted a companion again in my life, and I didn't really know what that was going to look like, because I didn't quite know what my future then held for me, and then, so I decided to just sit down and write a checklist of things that I would like in my future wife. And I reckon it would have been a good page long, so maybe 30 lines, 30 different points of what I wanted. And I remember folding it up and I put it in this old leather jacket, this white, like, blue striped leather jacket that I had. It was like a racer jacket.
Mm.
And I put it into the zip pocket of that. And I kind of forgot about it, but all of the things that I wrote down, I hadn't forgotten about. If someone had said to me, you know, months later or years later, you know, what are the things you would like in your wife? I would have all been able to rattle them off, because they were so intently ingrained into me that they were things that I wanted, and that I think that I knew that I needed as well. And then I guess it would have been years later, because I met Soph when I was maybe 28 or 29. Maybe I was 29. But yeah, I met Soph, and she literally ticks every single box that was on that list. And I kind of, and even at that point when I met her, I still forgot about it. And then I think in some sort of a conversation, we were sort of talking. I said, you know, how much we love each other, and we're talking. I said, as a matter of fact, I wrote this checklist or this letter of what I would like in my future wife, and you literally have every single one of them. And that's another point. Like, that there is one that I hold dearly to me. There is a whole heap more that I have intentionally manifested, especially when in the time that I had to read that book. It's probably the only book that I've actually read,
yeah.
The Secret.
I think that was Earl Nightingale. Have you heard?
Mate, I couldn't remember who the author was, yeah. Honestly. No, I just read the content of it. Yeah, yeah, but okay. It was a pretty cool looking book. And I've since, I gave it to my mate Payne. Yeah. So, and I think he read it and really got a lot from it as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, so from there, I definitely continued to, you know, put out manifestations. And at that point, keep in mind, I was 25 years old. I had literally nothing to my name. I had to come back out and start over completely fresh. And at that point, you know, I was kind of lost. I think it was Boxing Day that I got out. And at that point I had, you know, a couple of, maybe $100 to my name, and that was, my life started fresh from there. And, you know, it's been a blessing ever since.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I seem to manifest quite regularly in terms of, things that, not even what I desire, just things that I need and that I know, like I can't do without, as in, like, I run my own business, so I need a certain amount of income to come in, but there's nothing on the horizon, like nothing, you know, that I've, no connections that I've made. And then all of a sudden I would get a random email from the very point in time that I needed it, that, like, here's the job for the exact amount of money that I needed to get me through. Like, and that has happened honestly every week for my whole life. Like, every time I need money, that's how I generate money, and that's my relationship with money, because I've always said whenever I need it, I'll just get it,
right?
And that's my relationship with money, and that's what I've projected out there. Throughout the next few podcasts, I really want to switch my mindset so that it's turns my relationship with money more into an abundant attitude, as opposed to when I need it, I'll get it. I want to change that and really measure it. I mean, it's going to be an easy measure for me because my whole life has been that stop
week
and go
by week type thing.
And it's been working, and it's like, we, you know, we do quite well out of that, but it's something that is easily identified, like, once it does change.
Yes.
So I really want to do that. But every house that we've moved into, you know, like, we look around certain houses, you know, we rent, so every time our lease is up, we're looking for a new place to stay, and there's a few applications, and you get a little bit desperate sometimes, and you know that you're never going to get those houses. But there'll always be that one where you just know that's it. Like, that's
you pitch yourself,
house.
You're like, yeah, I've seen it, and I know I'm going to be living there.
Yeah, and then there you are.
Yeah.
That will always work out. I just did it today. Like, literally, that's why it's probably on my RAS, where our lease was coming to an end, and I said to my wife, let's just see what's out there. Like, well, let's just put it out there that we are looking for something. But I only want to apply for things with the number 11 in it. And the reason why 11 is because 11 is sort of our universal number. My wife and I see it all the time. Whenever we look at the phone or the clock, it's always 11 past something, and we know that we're on the right track when we see the number 11.
Hmm.
So that was our thing. And I said, look, let's only go for houses that are number 11. And she also said that she liked this particular block of units, but she wanted a two-bedroom one. Anyway, our lease comes up next month, and it turns out that number 11 in this particular block of units, which is the two-bedroom one, popped up. 11/56. 5 plus 6 is 11. So it's 11/11. And I was like, well, I'm not even going to, like, get excited about, but this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it just became, the manifestation wasn't even something like a wish. It was just a reality that I knew was there. I knew I created it, and it was just, I was just living it now.
Yeah.
And I was, wow. I don't know, it was just that sort of thing. So I feel like those sort of manifestations are happening quite regularly now, because I'm a lot more aware of my day to day. So I think the next thing I wanted to touch base on was, once you put it out there, then what? Like, is it, for me, it's about being present and being completely vulnerable to different ways that the universe is delivering what I've asked for. Where prior, I had all these goals and these intentions that I set when I was bloody 17, and I'm still living by them for some reason. When I'm like 25 to 30, I'm still living those goals that I had, because that's what I was taught to do. And I said, you know, by the time I'm 35, I'm going to have $5 million, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm following those stepping stones, and I'm manifesting along the way, except I'm not listening to the universe showing me, like, the answers. I just thought that I was in my head and I knew how to get there.
Yes. Or, and is vibration a key to this as well?
Maybe as well, yeah. So, like, that's this, they're the sort of things that I wanted to break down. Like, yeah. What happens after you have a thought, a desire, and you want to create your reality?
Yes.
Then what? It's not...
Well, I think the big key to remember is, there is, you mentioned before about presence, there is only the now. And as soon as you are aware that there is no past and there is no future, that there is only the now, because you try and go back to the present, past, I should say, or you try and go forward to the future in this physical realm right now, you can't. You have to just live in the now. And the only thing that exists in all three of those states is the mind, is the consciousness.
Mm.
Because we can look back and say, oh, yeah, I do remember that. You know, I do recall that. So you have a memory of that, which is just the mind at work. So the importance of manifestation is being purely present in that moment, and working towards that goal or that manifestation that you're trying to create in that frequency. And if you're sort of sitting there through desperation or through greed or through anger or any of those negative vibrations, then that's not going to come about. You need to be purely at peace. And I think one thing that you mentioned earlier, Josh, which was to believe that you already have it.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about this earlier on, and to if you are going to manifest something, is to believe in the now, right now, that you already have it. And then that there sets the cogs of reality, if you will, in motion to create that.
It's hard to do that without pretending you're faking it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, but let's just jump back to the vibrational point of view just for a second. The low vibrational matter in this world are inanimate objects, right? Like a piece of wood or like a piece of furniture. They're still vibrating at a molecular, at anatomic level. They're still vibrating, but slowly, right? Like almost like it's almost looks like it's not moving because it's like so low vibration. Where if you're depressed or you're like, you know, have a negative attitude, that vibration is sort of matched. It's not going anywhere. It can't really, just like a chair doesn't move, nor does your vibration. Yeah. So if you have that sort of attitude towards something, even the thought of, I want this prize home, but it's unrealistic that I'm going to get it. Even just that little thought.
Then you're not going to get it.
Then you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
So that's the importance of vibration and being like, and matching the vibration that's out there, the flow of life, matching life's flow is important for basically casting your line out into the universe. You need to match that frequency.
It'd be interesting to know that if there is a frequency itself for manifestation.
Oh, there fucking is. I reckon 100% there is. And I'm sure it's been identified somewhere. I'm sure.
And I think that might be the secret.
I'm going to look it up while you talk.
The Illuminati, the elites and so on, that, you know, they get indoctrinated. They get bought into this group and they basically work together for a common goal, good or bad. That's what they do. But I wonder whether, because, you know, from that they're given they say, oh, you sell your soul to the devil. But I wonder whether that is just finding out the intricate details of manifestation and how you can actually use it, manipulate it to your own benefit. Josh is on, what are you on, ChatGPT right now, asking a question? Is he going to hook it up?
I just asked if what the Hertz frequency is for manifestation, and I don't think it's going to give it to me. It's
controlled by the Illuminati, that's why.
Yeah, it's too spiritual.
Yeah. Be interesting to find that out, though, because everything works on a vibration, like Josh was saying. You know, dead things are still vibrating, just not on the same level as what, you know, something that alive is. And then you have higher frequencies or higher vibration in certain things and lower. Music is a perfect example for it.
963.
963, there actually is.
Yeah.
Damn.
963 is what they reckon. Wow. This is not from ChatGTP. It's from just people uploading certain music and that sort of thing to YouTube. So
that'd be great to get like a CD or something of that, because I don't know whether when you play it through, say, YouTube, whether it actually then...
The speakers change
They change it. So, or if there's an instrument that you could play it. What was it, 963?
Yeah.
963. Those three numbers. Damn. Oh. Yes. Wow. That's interesting in itself.
That's Tesla's numbers, right?
Google what are the... Yeah, man. Google that real quick. So Josh is just going to Google what these numbers, 963. I've read them... So on a manifestation level, if you want something to happen, you can say it 9 times a day, then you do it 6 times a day, then 3 times a day. You write it down 9 times a day, 6 times a day, 3 times a day. So that there is... I doubt that would... I guess that's where they get that number from.
Maybe. Maybe it came from those sources. From that frequency? I definitely think... I know Tesla used to say that the secrets to the universe were unlocking the secrets of 9, 6, and 3. And that all came down from, like, I don't know, working out different patterns. And I don't actually know the fundamentals. The
details of it all. But, yeah... Coincidence again, or fact that there is some truth behind this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a rabbit hole that you can go down, I guess.
But I was talking about frequency just a minute ago, and I was my mate Dave. I was speaking with him on the phone yesterday, and he said that he watched a documentary where they did studies on, I don't know whether they're on children or just on a group of people in general, but they were testing their cognitive abilities before and after listening to different types of music.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was really interesting that heavy metal actually affected in a negative way cognitive ability the most, followed by hip-hop or rap. And then it went down on a scale, and the most beneficial music for cognitive ability was classical music.
Yeah, I've definitely heard classical music and Beethoven, Mozart and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Being quite good for when you're studying and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. And they were all these types of genres of music. And I'd be interested to find out, you know, we listen to, when we do our ceremonies, a very specific type of music. And it's sort of, I wouldn't say it borders on classical. It definitely does not, but it definitely has those same sort of notes. And I think, I feel like instruments that are in classical type of music that is in this type of music that we listen to as well. So it'd be interesting to find out that what that would do for cognitive ability. But from cognitive ability, I think you can only, I guess, push that back down to frequency, how your body is operating at that time, which is, again, frequency. They call it cognitive ability, but it all comes down to how are they vibrating at that point in time.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, another sign that, you know, what we surround ourselves with through thought will become our reality again.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the masters of their reality, you know, some of the elite players. You mentioned the Illuminati group before. Obviously, there's some sort of secrets that's been passed down through generations and generations. My family tree missed the memo, I think.
Yeah.
what are... We've got Leroy the Bulldog.
Trying to get into the media.
Trying to get into the podcast room. He wants to say a few words, obviously.
I mean, then you go, well, are there any individuals outside of the Illuminati? I don't know, because I don't know who are a part of the Illuminati and who are not.
Yeah.
Or the elites, you know, like we can go, all right, Elon Musk, he's done a hell of a lot in his life. I think he's been indoctrinated into it.
Yeah.
You know, there's all of these people that we perceive as being individuals succeeding in their roles. You know, a lot of these actors and actresses and musicians and so on, a lot of them, you know, have been to Epstein's Island.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been involved in, you know, these different things. A lot of them are throwing up the different signs and stuff like that. So, I don't know, like, but if you want to talk about an individual, have you got anyone?
Well, no, it was more so, I wonder if those individuals actually, like, let's say, the only person that sort of comes to mind at the moment, and I don't have any sort of preference, is Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he pops up on YouTube all the time. But the things that I hear him say are different from what I hear regular people saying. And it's not that I want something or I wish that I could have had that. It is, I am doing this. This is the way things are. It's said with such confidence.
Yes.
And obviously he's successful, whether you like him or hate him, like, that's all part of the party.
Yeah, and like, a certain amount of the population buy into it. And
yeah.
And that feeds it and that creates his reality that he's trying to achieve.
That's right. I actually don't know anything about him except for the fact that he's like this figure and that he's got this sort of, I guess, stature in the world. And all I'm looking at is, I wonder if he consciously manifests or, you know, he's just naturally thought that way, or he was just brought up with the idea that you are creating your reality. Or do you know what I mean? Like, what is it that sets these elites from us in terms of...
Well, I think he's like a very good storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he does a hell of a lot on social media. He likes being the bad boy. He likes going against the grain and against the narrative, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But
whether he knows it or not, he is manifesting.
He is. Well, we all are.
Yeah.
Like, whether we're forever manifesting, we're forever creating.
Then why is his manifestation
so good,
so powerful?
Because of the masses.
Yeah.
So he's got, because of the way that he can convince a large group of people. And he does it through social media. That's how he reaches people. Yeah. But from that, you know, he's created like a couple of different what would you even call them, like business internships or whatever it be,
schools
like,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, like business school. That sort of thing where you sign up, you pay $50 a month, and you get access to, you know, people that can help you become as rich and powerful as what he is. So he's selling that idea of, you know, do what I do and you will be what I am.
Yeah.
And but from that, he's creating his reality in itself. So it's that's where he's getting it from. It's almost like those, you know, real estate developer agents that, you know, hold these seminars where you pay and then you sign up and you pay to go to a seminar. And then when you're there, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, now you go out and find me the land and I'll develop it and I'll give you this small portion.
Yeah.
You know, why aren't they just going out and finding the land themselves and taking the whole pie? You know, so you got to sort of then question, you know, if what you're doing is so easy, then why aren't you doing it yourself?
Yeah.
But from what he's doing, he's basically manipulating the masses to create his reality. And he's allowing the energy of everyone else to believe that, to create that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, like, you know, the more people that buy into it and sign up, so every person that pays $50 to him every month to be like him is him creating himself even further along the lines of his end goal of manifestation of being ridiculously rich, wealthy.
But that's not also to say that what he's doing is not working for a lot of people as well. Like, he is giving the tools in his way of manifesting to them so that not all of them, but there will be some of them that actually get
the learnings to
create themselves. Right?
Yeah, for it to work, like, you know, if it was just snake oil, then it would burn out pretty quick. So there has to be some level of
authenticity
to it, no doubt about it, because, you know, I think that that is how he got to where he is to a degree. Obviously, he's made his money somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, it's just that it's that mass manifestation still happening. So the more people that succeed under him, you know, the more people that they then go and tell and so on. And then it just keeps growing. And it's just like the pyramid, I guess, at the end of the day. It just, he sits at the top and it funnels out underneath him. And good on him for doing it. Like, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that that there is, I guess, you know, your question about that, that's one way to create mass manifestation.
Yeah.
And he's very good at that. You know, the news is a very good tool that that does that. You know, the if someone was to put, if a reputable news company is to put something on TV and, you know, 80% of the world see it, then 80% of the world believe that that happened.
Yeah.
Even if they were to then, you know, put a small little disclaimer out the next day saying, oh, sorry, this was incorrectly, you know, broadcast that this didn't happen. But unfortunately, at that point, 80% of the world already believed that it happened.
Yeah. If you don't question it in that very moment, then it is now a part of your reality just by hearing it.
Yes, it's still part of your reality. And that, I guess that's what I was trying to say. So for that time, and whether it, you know, for the next 24 hours or whether you never, you don't actually get to see that, that broadcast the next day, then you could go on your whole life believing that it was, and then you could tell another 10 people, and those 10 people could tell another 10 people, and then, you know, that becomes reality again.
So are we on the same page, like Matt and Josh, when we talk about if we're not aware of something that's happening somewhere else in the world, then it is not part of our reality, or it still is part of our reality? And like, I'm under the understanding, just so you can get a clear picture of where I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm under the understanding that nothing that I am unaware of actually exists in my reality. Until somebody tells me, or I see a picture or something like that, that becomes my reality, and only that portion of information. I'm not going to see the entire picture. There's infinite angles that you can look at a certain topic.
Yes.
No, none of that's going to be part of my reality, just what I'm told. So if I see a snippet on the news, that's my reality. There's something going on in Zimbabwe, but that's it. Just that snippet.
Yep.
And I don't think there's any way to prove anything other than that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just say that, like, it has always existed, because if we're talking about reality in this sense, then you can't prove that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, do you think similarly?
I'm 100% on the same page, because my belief now on reality is it is all only through the mind.
Yeah.
And I could probably lose a few people by talking about that, because it's really hard to put that into words.
Yeah.
But now my belief is that there really is no such thing as a physical reality as the way that we perceive it in our minds. We just create it.
Yeah.
So we feel that, you know, as I'm grabbing my hand right now, guys, and I'm closing it and I'm touching the palm of my hand with my fingers and I'm saying it and I'm looking at it and I'm doing it and I'm feeling it and so on. But it is my mind allowing me to understand that.
Yeah.
Because
if you didn't have the sense of, like, a nerve was damaged in your hand, for example, if you didn't have the senses to comprehend that, then it would be a different experience.
It would be
right?
a different
in
experience.
In your reality, it wouldn't feel the same way as what it would if you did have that sense.
Correct.
So, in there, that's pretty clear that if you were blind, your reality is going to be very different from the reality that you would have if you weren't blind.
Yes.
Like,
and the mind is also very sneaky and it can't always be trusted, the subconscious mind. Because, you know, there's been tests done where they might grab 10 random strangers and get them all to watch a scene unknowingly that they're going to have to recall snippets of this scene and try and piece it together. So they might watch like a robbery happening or something like that, and they're all just sitting there watching. They don't really know why they're watching it, and then afterwards they all get questioned and they say, rightio, so who was the perpetrator? What was he wearing? What car did he drive? What was the license plate number, and which direction did he go in, or something like that, right? Yeah. And then there will be, in most cases, there would be a lot of different answers back to that.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with perspective. It's all to do with what your mind is concentrating on the time. So realities of that is another example of skewed reality. And like Josh was just saying before, is, you know, if I think, what's the saying? If a tree falls in the woods and I didn't see it, did it really happen?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, if you aren't aware of it, then does it really happen?
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's from a point of denial. I think that's from a point of what reality actually is.
Yeah. So is there an art of forgetting then? So once you become aware, and I guess this ties to what you were saying before in terms of almost creating your memories.
Mm.
Is there an art of forgetting something that you've just become aware of unintentionally? So someone next to you at a cafe is talking about something and you can't help but overhear them, or the news flashes something and you're now aware of there's a war over XYZ. I'm aware of it. Can I be naive enough or arrogant enough just to forget that? And then all of a sudden it's not part of my reality anymore?
I think if you believe that you can forget, then yes.
Yeah.
If you genuinely and authentically do it and believe that you have forgotten and then you actually do forget, then yeah, it sort of, it does go away. And then someone can bring it back up to you later and go, oh yeah, I think I recall something like that. You know, we do that with you all the time.
Yeah,
like,
Josh I have
has
the
a
worst,
shocking memory.
The worst. And,
yeah.
But I actually like that, because it's not that I have a bad memory, it's that I don't trust my memory.
Mm.
So just as you said before, when you've got, like, you know, the police scenario and someone's, you know, escaped that way and that way, when I think of a memory, I'm actually like, I am knowingly putting it together.
Yes.
I'm just like sliding in a bit of furniture here and I'm putting a person there, and like, I'm very slowly putting that memory together, and I'm like, well, I know this is not the way it always was.
Yes.
Like, whether it happened or not, my recollection of it happening is being made right now, and it just doesn't...
Well, I think that's kind of a good thing for you, is because you don't actually give your mind as much credit as what other people do, the average person does.
Yeah.
And when I say giving it credit, I don't mean that as a good thing. So not giving it credit, I think, is probably a good thing, not taking it too serious.
Yeah.
Because the mind can, you know, play tricks on us, and it does that, and it, you know, it can wander, it can get negative, but we can also use it in a beneficial way of being positive. Yeah. As well. So, yeah. You know, it can be our best tool, and it can be our worst enemy as well.
Yeah. We become so loyal to it, and like our perspective becomes what we think is real, but we forget that other people are creating their own realities, and they looked at it from a different perspective, or they manifested something different, and their reality is not necessarily our realities.
Yes.
I think we get mixed up in thinking there's one reality, and we are physical walking beings as our bodies walking around this one reality, mingling with each other. And that's whatever it is the way it is.
Yes.
And by doing that, we then create conflict because I saw it differently, or like a majority of people said, this is the way.
This is the way, yeah.
And then the other like minority go, well, no, it's not, because I legit feel that it's not.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, I haven't heard that, or I didn't see that on TV, so that's not right. How I feel.
So, and then all of a sudden, that's where we get fire versus fire and that sort of thing. So, I think what you were saying at the very start of this podcast is, in order to manifest and create our realities, it's about becoming more than our physical bodies and really reaching a level of mind and thought and dabbling in that mind, body, soul, like just in that mind stage.
Yes.
And just...
I think step it back one more and understand what the mind and what consciousness truly is. Like really start to peel back the layers, have a real good deep think about it, rather than just thinking you're this person walking around, that you were born, you've gone through experiences, and this is who you are now, and one day you'll die and maybe that's it, or maybe you'll, you know, reincarnate into something else or whatever it be. Really put thought behind, how the hell does reality work? Like, how am I a physical, so-called physical being right now, but I can communicate, I can see, I can feel, I can remember, I can have emotions, all of these things. Like, what causes that? And it is something a hell of a lot deeper than, you know, that we should be, you know, celebrating and getting in touch with and getting curious with and loving and wanting to be and get to know that. And that there is what's behind the mask of all of that. And that there's what's inside.
That's where we're going with Mindshift now, and that's what we're going to break down in future episodes. We're just going to experiment with that mastery of the mind and try and do just that, become masters of our own reality. So I think we'll leave it there, and actually, before we go, let's throw out a little manifestation right now, a little bit of a practice, and then we can recap on next week and see what's popped up. Did you want to... do a collective one, or did you want to have little individual manifestations? I think
let's do a collective one. I want to help my brother. Like, he's been trying to, he's got a house on the market and he's been trying to sell it. And I've actually been trying to sell it for him for a long time, which is probably a bad sign of my sales skills. But it just, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to sell it. It's priced right. It's a beautiful property. It's got awesome views. It's dual living. And there just seems to be a blockage somewhere along the lines. He actually just had the house cleansed today. So he had a lady come up, and she actually said that there were some spirits there that needed to leave. There was also an entity attached to him as well, which is another story that we can talk about, because he knew of this old woman. She said, there's an old woman attached to you. And since he moved into that house, he could feel that. So
yeah,
that's a whole other story. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. But so basically, you know, his dream is to sell this property and buy another property further down into northern New South Wales, where he's going to be able to hold a lot more retreats, a lot more ceremonies, live off the land. And that's kind of, you know, been his goal, and he's something that he's really strived for and worked very hard for. But for whatever reason, there just seems to be a blockage on why this property isn't moving at the moment. So it'd be awesome if we could all come together and help manifest the sale of his house.
Yeah.
It's if anyone wants to look it up on realestate.com, it's 81 The Panorama in Talai. But yeah, I think if we could all sit in presence, which is where manifestation happens, so get somewhere quiet, slow down the mind and clear it first through meditation, and then just start to feel that, yeah, his house is going to sell and it's going to sell.
It already has sold, well, right? Yeah, like no, it already
there,
has.
There we go. So his house is sold. It sells for over his expectations and he's happy and he moves on to the next part of his life, which is going to be great for him. So yeah, if we can all do that for this time around, and then I think for next week, how about we either do something for,
well, we
for
do
Josh or
whatever pops up, who knows, we'll just see what comes around. And
or if anyone wants to send us something, you know, we're going to be doing this on a mass and everyone, you know, let's help, you know, our viewers as well and our listeners. So you know, someone shoot me a message on Messenger or give us a phone call, anyone that's listening, and let us know what you would like us to help manifest for you, because we'd love to be able to start doing this on a regular basis and seeing that, you know, through the mass, is it going to be a quicker manifestation?
Little experiment to see things actually happening.
Yeah. We know that it happens. We know that it exists, and we don't quite know, you know, frequency, time, and all of that, but we're going to play around with it until we can become masters of it.
Yeah. Join us on this mystery road to mastery of
the manifestation.
Of manifestation and creating your own reality. So,
yeah.
All right. Join us next week. We'll be here, and all the best.
Thanks,
guys. Have a good week.
Catch you next time.